Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Well, Mark Pritchard, he's here, he's on the phone. So how you doing, Mark?
Yes.
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm delicious. So Mark, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and how you got into ghost hunting and paranormal.
Yeah, well, my name's Mark Pritchard. I've been obviously been into the paranormal and all things ghostly ever since a very, very young age. Basically, the reason why I'm so fascinated with the subject itself is because I actually had an experience when I was very, very young at my family home. I can remember it as clear as day, as if it happened yesterday. I was in bed in my house. I was wide awake. I was staring at the wall, and I just heard this lady's voice saying, "Lady Jane." And it was very, very silent at the time. And then suddenly, it just started to get louder and louder, and I was kind of poking myself as well at the time when it was happening, but I was wide awake, and I literally, it just got louder and louder and louder, and to the point where I didn't really want to turn around in bed, and the voice was right next to me, and I was too scared to turn around, and that was it, pretty much. That really spooked me and scared me at the time. I mean, I must have been around about 10 or 11 years old at that time. But it was very scary, and that was the reasons why I really got into the paranormal.
And how old were you at that time, Mark? Remind me.
Sorry?
How old would you have been at that time?
I would have been around about, I think I was around 9 or 10 years old. So yeah.
So how did you make sense of that at the time? Who did you speak to and try and understand
that? I didn't really speak to anyone because, I mean, previously to when that actually happened, I'd heard voices, but I wasn't sure what the voices were. So it was kind of strange. And I'd see things as well. I'd see things in the corner of my eye and stuff. Even when I was just generally just playing on my own in certain areas and stuff like that. And at the time, I just found it it didn't really scare me. It was just a thing that was kind of, I just wondered what it was. It was crazy.
So if you'd already started hearing voices, etc., would you say you're quite spiritual yourself? You're a medium, or
I wouldn't say it's quite, because I mean I've obviously gone more into the paranormal the past 3 years. I've actually obviously went on public ghost hunts and stuff, because I just thought to myself one day, I thought, right, you know, this is something that I'm really into. I would love to go and obviously go and do a ghost hunt and see what it's all about. I went on the public ghost hunt and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But it was kind of something that I've always wanted to do and always wanted to try, and I've always been fascinated about it. And obviously seeing a lot of the TV programs, obviously back, you know, obviously when certain programs in the UK aired about ghosts and stuff, yeah, it was more of a thing where I thought, well, okay, you know, let me go and try it for myself. And I've experienced quite a lot since I've been doing it.
And it's okay to mention those programs actually on the show.
All right, so
what's the most influential?
The most influential program was obviously Most Haunted. I think it started back in 2002. And then obviously I saw this program and came onto TV, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, I was blown away by it, because obviously I think, you know, the first ever episode that they did, which was at Mitchell and Priory in the UK. And I just thought, wow, you know, they picked up on so much things. And I mean, you know, as I was growing up, you know, into my life, obviously from that experience that I had, and when I reached my like 20s, I used to go out with a lot of friends. We used to go out at night. We used to go to a place called Whitley Court, which is based in Worcester in the UK, which is now derelict. There was a great fire there. We used to go there quite a lot, you know, as friends do. And I did again experience a lot of things there at this place. It just stemmed from there. And there was a great hall there, and there's some steps that lead up to the hall. And I was with about four or five friends at the time, and we basically heard for about 5 seconds. We heard that sounded like a dinner party was going on, which was crazy. We all looked at each other and thought, and we all heard it, but there was no one else around the place because we actually looked around and checked. So again, it's obviously the small things like that which I just find absolutely fascinating about the subject.
So when you first what age would you have been when you first started doing some investigations?
It was quite late, you know, doing proper investigations, I'd say about 3 years ago. So I'm relatively obviously new to it all. But a lot of the investigations that I've been on, a lot seems to happen. You know, I tend to obviously hear things and you know, maybe there is something that I've got that I don't realize that I've got, because only a few months ago I was at Craig and Oss in Wales. I don't know whether you're familiar with the place, but
yes, very.
But I actually had a go at psychometry. And I know two mediums, and they said, well, Mark, they seem to feel as though that I have got some sort of ability where I can obviously pick up on things. And I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a go. I'll give it an actual try. And one of the ladies that were there, they had a ring, or she had a ring, and she gave me the ring, and I held the ring in my hand, and I just closed my eyes, and the medium said, obviously concentrate on the item that you're holding in your hand. And then I suddenly started to feel that I was getting messages, or messages were coming through, but there were only one sentence messages. And I was saying, things were coming to me. One of them, for instance, was bluebells. It was just obviously small things like that were coming through. And obviously this happened for about like 10 minutes or so. And then, well, obviously, when I stopped doing it, the lady obviously told me of the things that I was coming out with. And she said bluebells were quite, you know, were actually saying that, that she thought, well, because her her actual brother died in a car crash, and they buried, or and they had bluebell flowers, which I thought was quite strange. So a lot of the information that I was given were actually true, which I found, which was quite amazing, really, to be honest with you.
So how do you remain impartial when you're doing an investigation, knowing that you pick up on some of those things?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just obviously the general feelings that I get. I feel that obviously, when I'm in an investigation somewhere, I can actually pick up things of obviously when things are going to happen moments before they do, and they kind of do. It's really, really hard to explain. I obviously get a feeling or an overwhelming feeling that comes to me, and then when I feel that, I feel as though, you know, the energy levels or my energy levels are very high, and the people that are around me are very high, and we do tend to get quite a lot of activity happen. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's something that I don't realise that I've got, or that ability. It's strange.
So in terms of your early experiences, did you ever work out who it was that was trying to communicate with you?
I didn't actually. I didn't kind of work out who. I know it was a lady's voice. I know it was a lady's voice at the time. But I mean, the house where I used to live at with my parents, I mean, it was a very old cottage at the time in a small village. And it was a very old cottage because my family had it off their parents. And we're talking, you know, 100 years old place where it was. But I don't know. I've never really looked into that side of the history of it. I mean, to this day, I would absolutely love to find out if Lady Jane was some sort of person that was local to the community or whatever. I don't know. Or she might have been a family member. I just don't know.
And so tell me a little bit, because you know that obviously for the listeners, Mark and I have spoken on a couple of occasions previously, and we've got quite different approaches to investigations. So tell me a little bit about your just how much programs like Most Haunted have influenced your present practice and investigation.
Yeah, it's kind of like influenced it in a way where I think to myself, okay, basically what I do is I go to the location. I don't obviously find out any history of it because I don't really like that part of it. I'd just rather go to the location and then just go around myself and just pick up, and certain areas get me. I don't know whether they do with you, but if I go into certain areas of the building, I actually think to myself, okay, there's something not quite right here, or I actually feel, or I overcome, like, that I'm cold, I've got the chills, or something's not basically not right about the area that I'm in. But yeah, I just it's really, I think I get a lot of things happen, and then for me it's just basically when things do happen, I'm just trying to find out what that is and why it's doing it and what's causing it. But yeah, you know, it's, yeah, I just find it so interesting.
So just for completeness, really, my view is that when you investigate something and that you want to obtain evidence, you investigate somebody else's experience and look to replicate that experience so that you can capture it and understand it. So if I was just to walk around and pick a venue randomly and walk around, I'm not investigating another experience unless I already know it's happened. So there's something there. I think, you know, right at the beginning of programs such as and not exclusive to Most Haunted, there was that kind of thrill factor with it, where people would genuinely be scared because they had no idea what they were dealing with or the experiences or anything they may hear or see or feel. So there was a genuineness about it, a raw experience that the crew were having. And that's some of that would have been psychological because of our adrenaline, and other bits would be about just a fear of the unknown.
Yes.
So, so thinking about our experiences now, I really struggle, as we were having a conversation only the other night about this, that I really struggle with going to a venue and experiencing something and then trying to make sense of it because you haven't a starting point.
So
all you, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up, in my view, to experiences around you, but there's you've got no grounding at all, and there is absolutely nothing to relate it to say this is what has actually happened. Whereas if I can say 40 years ago, there was a major scandal in this particular house because at 3 o'clock in the morning in room four, somebody stayed in a hotel room and their bedding was ripped off them and they ran down in fright. And that was recorded by the hoteliers at that time. My investigations would first of all be to talk to those people who believe they've experienced it. The second thing will be to investigate the location of the hotel and the owners at the time. And that's about electrics, pipes, you know, plumbing, everything.
Yeah.
And only then, when I could rule out a natural cause, would I go in and do an overnight investigation at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it sounds, exactly.
So that's the difference. And the only, that has come about over, many years of investigating, actually, because right at the beginning, I had my own paranormal group and we were doing much the same as Most Haunted. And then when you think about actually what you are doing, it just seems a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But that's my view. So come back at me, Mark. Tell me why my view may not be right. Or
no, I mean, the only reason, obviously the public events that I go on is obviously hosted by obviously of the groups and stuff. But there are obviously times where I've had investigations where I've done myself. We only did one not so long ago, about a year ago, and that was at the Valiant Soldier, and that was a 1960s pub. Now this place was obviously, it was like stepping back in time basically. The pub shut in the late 60s. And it's only a very small, it's obviously a museum now. It's obviously been left as it was. And the great thing about the Valiant Soldier was because of its age and stuff, there was me, there was about five other investigators. And again, we obviously went in there. We obviously took all of our equipment and stuff in. Didn't read too much into the actual location itself, But we did obviously know that there was a lady that obviously died within the house that actually owns the pub itself. Mm. So, and again, it was, we didn't really get too much on that, but we did obviously set up experiments and stuff like that. But I can understand obviously where you're coming from with the way that you approach, obviously paranormal investigations. Which is really, at the end of the day, the way you should go about it is obviously finding out the history and finding out if there was somebody that did take their own lives, and stuff like that.
I think it's more about the purposes as well, as I think, isn't it, about why you're doing it. So if we're looking at doing it because we want to obtain evidence, then that's then you have to do it in a structured and methodical way in order to be able to do that. So there are many, many groups around, aren't there, that take 60, 70 people out to do an investigation.
Oh, I know, yes. Yeah, they do,
just bizarre. It's, it's absolutely crazy stuff. But I think the people buy into it because of the fear factor. It's no different than going on a roller coaster.
That's right, it's true,
You're just waiting for something unexpected to happen to you that's going to hit the pleasure centre of the brain.
That's right, yeah. No, that's right, it's true.
So for me, I'm really quite finicky now going forward as to who I'll investigate with and what I'll do, because so many people still go around shouting out, is there anybody there? That don't get me wrong, there's a role for that. There's definitely a place for that in an investigation at the right time. But when it's just a bit random and ad hoc, I just think it's, you know, I'm not getting any younger, Mark, to be honest, and I think if I'm up for it, I want to do it properly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it is. That's right. Yeah, you've definitely got a really good point of going about it. Is actually finding out, obviously people's experiences and trying to experience them yourself, you know. And I'm finding nowadays as well, obviously a lot of the investigations that I go on, Julie, is that a lot of places now have been really, really over investigated, haven't they? I think.
Yes.
It's finding the right places, isn't it? I mean, there are a lot of places around, but. You know, and the other thing is, a lot of the places are obviously being knocked down and stuff like that, which I think is a great shame, because a lot of these buildings are a part of our history. And you know, it's just a shame to actually see it happen. And it maybe, you know, a lot of these places that you could go on a ghost investigations in, if. To obviously keep the upkeep of the building and stuff like that, obviously ghost hunting probably would help, but like you said, yeah, I mean, investigations, like you say, have to be done properly and in that sort of way. That's the way I see it.
Do you think that's the difference between a ghost hunt and a paranormal investigation?
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, obviously, when you go on a ghost hunt, like you say, a lot of people obviously think that, yeah, let's just go out and see what we can get. When we go through these investigations, paranormal investigator, yes, you know, you'd obviously go down that route of finding out people's obviously things towards that. So yeah, I'm a total believer on that.
So, Mark, you have a Facebook Live following.
I do, yes. Following. Yes, I do. Yep.
And you cover, you know, you interview many people. I've been on your show. And and a lot of people have, various different views. As an interviewer with your own set of views, like the same as I'm doing now, I've got my own views and I'm sharing them openly, but I'm open to others.
Yeah.
How... What's been the most unusual view that you've heard from somebody? The one that's made you think, oh, my word, that's absolutely madness?
Yeah. I mean, I could say. And there has been a couple that I have interviewed on my show. And recently I have seen things that have happened. And it's quite shocking. And it's a real shame as well to actually see it happen. Because it's making a kind of mockery out of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to achieve, and that's obviously getting the evidence that ghosts and spirits do exist, and to see it happen, obviously, it's really upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's upsetting to have people so misinformed, but it's also opens me up to query whether or not there is a higher proportion of individuals who want escapism.
Where
things are unsettled elsewhere, and maybe this is more about escapism than it is about investigating and understanding.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, very true. Yeah, I can see that.
Because some people seem to be so vulnerable, don't they?
They do.
You know, Al and I have interviewed people who genuinely we have had conversations about the moral integrity of what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, 10 minutes into the interview, and it's because you don't want to put people out there in a negative way. You don't want people vulnerable. You don't want people to get the backlash that can happen with these interviews. You want people to present well and present their views across, you know, strongly.
That's right.
But with some level of integrity, really, and some people they're not able to exhibit that.
No. And you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of interviews that I've done, especially with mediums and stuff. I'm just fascinated about how it started, you know, for them. And I think that's a good thing to get across, to people, because like you say, you know, with a lot of ghost programs that, you know, that we see on TV and stuff like that, it's kind of, you know, they have to make things happen, if you see what I mean, don't they? To get the viewings and stuff. Whereas when you're on a one-on-one interview with someone or someone who's actually got mediumship skills and stuff like that, that I think generates more interest, because it's true and it's raw, and it's their story, and they're telling you how they became what they are. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and I find that I find it really fascinating as well. So yeah, it's great.
And what part of the world of the paranormal interests you the most, apart from the mediumship side?
That's quite a good one. it's just obviously seeing things that happen at the time and when they capture these things, you know. I'm very much into obviously the audibles, EVPs. I find it, you know, when I hear these things myself, I find it quite incredible. And sometimes other things like full apparitions as well, it's got to be the ultimate. If someone does obviously capture something or a shadow of a person, and I find that fascinating as well, you know, and I think it's great.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And obviously when things move as well, I don't know whether, have you personally seen something move in a room that you've been in, Julie, or
yes,
not?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, it makes you hold your head and think, oh, how did that happen? And then you try and go over and think what could have possibly moved this item, and then when you find out that okay, all right, maybe something other than what we can't see moved it. It's I just find it fascinating.
It's if it's done properly, it's great.
Yes.
I think when you see things on telly, I wouldn't touch it for evidence. And what's interesting now is Alan and I were talking about this before we spoke, that many of the popular era for paranormal programs has passed, and now they're moving quite quickly a lot of them, actually not just the one popular one, but quite a lot of them are moving to online.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because, they are, aren't they?
Because they don't have the buy-in anymore, because they've kind of outdone it.
They haven't they, yes.
And it's the same format time and time again. And Al was saying that the American show Taps is coming back shortly in the US. And okay. It's hard to see how different that would be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, another thing as well, Julia, I don't know whether you found, I mean, there is a lot of stuff that I'm seeing as well that's obviously scientific, you know, with actually all the equipment that you can get. I mean, there is so much equipment that you can get now through, obviously, ghost hunting and stuff. And I think, and I've always thought, and I've always liked this thought, is that the best equipment for if you're trying to do an investigation, it is yourself, isn't it? But don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't agree with anything else.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, you're the main thing. Yeah, you can hear things, you can smell things, you can see things, you know, whereas, you know, I mean, there are a lot of equipment things that are out there that I kind of think to myself, well, okay, you know, I don't know whether you're... have you seen the actual Kinect where you see the stick people come on the screen and stuff like that? I'm not convinced about that. I'm not convinced about that either, because, I mean, it could be picking up on things, especially if they're in a room. There might be a wire sticking out, and then that might obviously show you a picture of a stick man or someone stood there. So, yeah, I'm not really convinced by those kind of Kinect things that I've seen on these programs, going back to yourself, I think you are the main, you know, you can feel things. I've been touched in the past, I've been touched mm-hmm. by unseen things, so, you know, it's I've smelt things as well and heard things as well myself when I've been in myself, so it's kind of, yeah, I think you are the best tool for actually going out doing an investigation.
I think when people corroborate each other, don't they? And there's dangers in that, don't get me wrong, because we know that we can, if we are close to somebody or we provide the right verbal guidance, one person, you can touch one person and the other person will feel like they've been touched. We know that that can be manipulated. But yes. In terms of the gadgets, you know, people running around with EVP meters, I get it, I understand it, and I've never yet heard anything that I've been able to listen to and say the word and then open a sealed envelope and the same words in it.
That's right, yes, yeah.
You know, we hear what we want to hear. So when somebody says, that sounds like death, oh, yes, it does. If I'd have said it sounds like beach, they would have said, yes, it does. So
exactly,
I am still yet to hear a good EVP. When people run around with, what do you call them? The lights, the names are actually gone from my whole.
Yeah.
Oh, what are they called? The lights flash when there's electromagnetic energy. And so when they run K2 meters, with their K2 meter and say, look, and they're stood underneath an electric source.
That's right, yes, yeah.
You know, and even when you're in an absolute desolate building and there's 10 people with a K2 meter, our bodies give off that energy as well. So to go around with that, which has never been designed for that, it's not a ghost hunting gadget. It's it's something that picks up electric energy, for want of a better phrase, because I'm not a scientist or electrician.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, I could use that to go and find plugs in the house. Not
that's right.
It's,
yeah.
It's not a ghost machine.
No.
What the one thing I do like is I do like the randomness of the the name is gone after a busy day at work, but the the box that does the radio waves. I like that because I think it's fascinating, and I don't understand it, and I don't understand how the coincidences happen, but that's as far as it goes.
It's the SB7 spirit box, I think it is, isn't it? Obviously it picks up on radio. Now I've seen these things in action firsthand, and I don't know, because I know that it scans through the radio stations and stuff like that, because you can hear obviously music and stuff come through it. But yeah, there was one time where I was in I think it was Gloucester Prison, and we actually had one of these things that this SB7 spirit box going at the time, and we heard this clear. It was clear as day as a swear word came through it. Now, I know, and I think you know, that you're not allowed to swear on the radio, which was quite bizarre. So that kind of like swayed me again to think, okay, there might be something to this this device that's being used. I don't know, but it was just fascinating to actually experience that at a time when it happened.
And I think I've experienced some absolutely mad events, you know, where people have gone to attack me and they're close friends of mine, where I've had my head pushed against a wall.
I can't
explain any of them other than the through a mediumship way. And even then, through years being on stage, I would always say to people, the reality is, I don't know why I know what I do. I couldn't say to you 150% this person who has died 10 years ago is chatting to me right now. Because there is no medium that I've ever interviewed or I've ever come across that says, I hear their voice, I know everything about them, I know what they're saying, I can see them in front of me. Most mediums you come across, and I'm sure there are some, so, you know, I'll apologise to those people who do get information that way. But from what I know, 90% of people will tell you the information you receive is like a thought. It's a knowing. Right, you know it. So I know the information. I don't necessarily hear it the way that you and I are hearing each other now. I may not see it in the same way as I'm looking at a screen. I know what it looks like because I know. There are the odd occasions that I will bump into somebody or see something that I know not to be there in a human form. But for me to go on stage and say, I know I am talking to dead Uncle Fred, who passed away 10 years ago, I couldn't ever, and I never have said that.
No. Okay.
Because I just know I get the information. So so I know my head was hit against the wall and I know that I didn't do it. Yeah, I know that I picked up on and I knew names in that location that were really important. And when we researched it, could be validated.
Right. Yes.
So
yeah.
I know that stuff. It's not that I'm hearing it. So I cannot say that as a medium, when I can give very good readings, I can remote view, I can do... the only thing I don't really do is tarot and angel cards, because I'm not really part of that. But I'm very good with something that belongs to somebody or jewellery or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
So, because I know it. I don't know how I know it. I know I have something that I see and I hear in my mind's eye that I could communicate with, which is what I call, for ease of everybody, my spirit guide.
Do I
know him to be a spirit guide? No. It's a name I can give to him because it explains to people what it is.
Yes.
It makes it easier for people. I'm not sure how many people really, and I don't know of any other medium that goes up on stage and goes, look, right, let's cut to the chase. There is absolutely no evidence out there that these people really are called spirit guides. And there is absolutely no evidence out there that we are talking to XYZ. But there is evidence that we can obtain information from somewhere other than you or me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? It's fascinating stuff.
It almost does me out of a job, really.
I bet it does. That's
the reality.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. What I did want to ask you, Julie, and I don't know whether I did ask you or when I actually interviewed you, but have you always had this gift, and has family members like say your mum or your mum's mum, have they ever had this gift?
Okay, so yeah, I think I probably have always had it, but okay. if we were to use simplistic terminology, so let's just say, for example, we go along the route of the spirit guide is out there, and the spirit guide will have already identified that they're going to be your guide and you're going to be able to do this before you were born. And they will only make themselves known to you at a certain time when you're ready for it. So if we go along with that particular hypothesis, I could see a black cat when I was really small. And I would look at the black cat and I would be able to, if I carried on looking ahead of me, the black cat would walk to my side and it would go out of my peripheral vision. And if I turned to look at it, it wouldn't be there. And that was regular. My mum used to look for it forever and a day. Now, the weird thing is that my mum never used to question looking for the cat. And we had two ginger cats and this was a black cat. So, and even today, I've not actually felt a need to have that conversation with her as to why she didn't really question it. She just went looking for this cat and she really did the crip letter most nights. And in terms of the family thing, on my granddad's side, so quite, we're talking distant now, I think it was his sister, could read jewellery. And members of my family used to send her jewellery to read. I didn't know her, but apparently that's what she did.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm quite good at that.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can pick up an item that belongs to somebody quite quickly and give them information about either who they are or their attributes, their things that they may have been through, things that that item has been through. So I think I might have told you, I read the doll that was a friend's doll. It looked like Reddy Chucky. It was a horrible thing. And I still maintain it was an ugly thing. And one of my best friends, actually, and part of my paranormal team, has got this doll in her possession. I think she should bin it. But it was from the gas chambers in Germany. And it had been given to a little girl by a German soldier before she was gassed. I read and I got the history of the doll, which was accurate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ah. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it does.
It's only when I was older that I realised that I could not only... obviously I wasn't seeing the black cat when I was older, that kind of passed. Yeah. And it was then that I suddenly realized that I was knowing things about situations that I couldn't really put my finger on. I didn't understand how and why I came across the information. And I was having a few experiences, some paranormal experiences in the house. And then really, really bizarrely, I moved house. It was at quite a traumatic time in my life. And I moved house and I lived up this very remote farm lane to the cottage, about a quarter of a mile from the road, bendy. You couldn't see the house from the road. And I'd only been living there about a matter of days, and two people walked up this hill to my house and they knocked on the door and I opened it, and it was a vicar and another lady. And I said, I'm really sorry, I'm not really religious, but I'm probably erring more on the spiritual side. And she said, yes, I know, because you're a medium and I'd like to do your PA work. And I'd never met her before in my life. And she did. She started my stage stuff for me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, amazing. Yeah.
And then about 6 months later, I was in a dressing room in Ludlow with... And I was on at the assembly rooms, and on the next stage was Lee Evans, the comedian. And there was myself, Lee, and this woman, Juliana. And we all just sat in the dressing room together thinking, well, this is odd. Then it went from there, really. So
obviously, Julie, obviously when you do read, obviously people's items and that, Can it get quite emotional for you? Do you feel the emotion that's involved within that item that you're holding at that time? Does it get to that stage?
I can do, but it's not my emotion. So So I may become teary, and I may know that it's sadness, but I wouldn't be uncontrollably sad like I might be if that was my own experience. I can say to somebody, these aren't my tears, actually. These are not for me. They're just there. They're a symptom of. The same way as you feel if somebody's been hanged or they've committed suicide, I will feel a pull at the back of my neck, and I'll feel my head tilt to the front, and so I'll know it's a hanging. I will get the feelings of something, but it doesn't mean to say that that is I don't get the pain or the discomfort. I just know it's there. So I know it's uncomfortable, but I don't know why, or I don't experience it in the same way. What about yourself? Have you tried that? You've tried the
I've tried jewelry. I tried it at Craig and Oss, and I was it kind of made me think, well, okay, maybe I have. I don't know. I mean, is there a way that I could try and find out if I have got this or if I have got an ability? I don't know. It's obviously something that I might just have to look into, or you know, is there a certain ways of opening myself up to whatever it is?
So there's lots of things you can do, actually, and people, depending on your beliefs, depending on how you want to pursue it, will be pivotal, really. So some people go to a development circle at the local spiritualist church. It's not something I've done. I have done platform at the spiritualist churches. I have supported them in the past. Yes. It's not really my thing. I'm not religious. So I always made them do the prayer and the Book of Hope and everything, and the Book of Prayers. Okay. And then I just do the actual platform bit. In terms of the development circles can be quite good because there's, you know, many people together and you're all learning together. And the other way, I mean, there's the Arthur Findlay College. You know, there's lots of different routes to learn how or develop your psychic ability. I've not done that because I haven't really needed to do it, if I'm honest, and that's not being arrogant. It's just because I don't see a need to. I was speaking to Ian Lawman one day, and he said that you need to know the ABCs. And I think that there is a definite value in what he was saying. But for me personally, the information comes through quite quickly and clearly. So I've given readings for people who have wanted to do it, and I've allowed that, you know, I've sent them an image that's meaningful to me or a picture of something that's meaningful and asked them to read it. So that's a way of doing it as well, testing it out with people.
Because
that's an easy way.
I think I might do it, because I mean I have noticed, you know, the more investigations that I do, you know, the more I'm tending to feel a lot of things when I do go out on them. I think it'd be a good thing for me to try and do and to try and learn, to be honest, and see what happens.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not only about what we get, it's also about how we portray it. Because you have to stay true to the source of the information. So if you're hearing or feeling something or knowing something or seeing something in your mind's eye, describing that in its true form is so important. So even if it makes no sense to you whatsoever, it's not meant to. It's not your information. So you have to be really strong in being able to say, well, this is what I've got, and it makes no sense whatsoever, or it's just one word, and being confident that that word will make sense to that person when they need it to. So, you know, in terms of your own bits, and we're hearing that you want to continue to develop because you're recognizing your own growth. What is next for Mark Pritchard, the paranormal investigator? What do you think is next for you?
I think what is next? I think obviously going abroad is one thing that I wanted to do. I mean, I've always wanted to go to, obviously, America and do an investigation over there, because I know that there are a lot. I've obviously had a reading off someone, and it's came up several times, saying that I will eventually go abroad and do investigating abroad. But yeah, I mean, it's getting to the stage now where, obviously, because I'm based in Worcester, I'm based in the southern part of England, and I think I've pretty much done all the locations that are meant to be haunted down south. So I think it's up north is probably one of the other places where I need to go, because I know that there are quite a few places up north. Scotland, I've been to Scotland. I've been to Edinburgh. Edinburgh is absolutely an amazing city. Edinburgh Vaults was fantastic. I didn't do an investigation there. I just went out for a tour, and I did feel things there, very strange things. Have you ever been, Julie? Have you ever been to the Edinburgh Vaults?
No, I did Mary King Close overnight with Kieran O'Keefe.
All right. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I bet that was brilliant.
So it was okay. It's an unusual location. Yeah. That's probably about all I'll say. But it's an unusual location.
Yeah, but I think the interviews as well that I do on Facebook it's growing. It's I enjoy doing it. Obviously the members enjoy obviously watching the lives as well. I have been having quite a few technical difficulties with it lately, but I won't go too much into that. But it's just I don't know. It's just the actual general interest that I've got, and maybe there is new things that I want to try out. But if there is, I will do them, and I will continue to obviously do what I do, and I do it basically because I enjoy it. I enjoy obviously doing the video side of it as well. I do a lot of editing, video editing as well. It does take quite a lot of time to do, but it's kind of good when I do look back on it. Things that I didn't experience at that time. When I do the edits, I actually experience like noisy sounds and stuff that I didn't hear when I was actually there. So that part of it interests me as well. It's just a thing that I've always been fascinated about, and I will continue to be fascinated by it.
Well,
but Mark, how can people contact you if they want to contact you?
If they can contact me, I have actually got an actual Facebook page. If you go into the search engine and put Mark Pritchard Ghost Hunter, it should come up, and you can join the page. I've got a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is exactly the same. You just punch in Mark Pritchard Ghost Hunter and it should come up on YouTube. All my videos of all the paranormal investigations that I've done in the past are all on there for you to view.
Well,
fantastic.
Thanks for being on the show, and it's been
that's
a great
okay. Interview. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure coming on, guys.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.